Introduction, page 1. Om Agyana Timurandasya Gyananjala Shalakaya Chakshurum Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Taitanya Manobhistam Stabitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupakara Mayam Dirati Svapadantikam. I was born in the darkest ignorance, and my spiritual master opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. I offer my respectful obeisances unto him. When will Srila Rupa Goswami Prabhupada, who has established within this material world the mission to fulfill the desire of Lord Chaitanya, give me shelter under his lotus feet? Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Parakamalam Sri Gurun Vaisnavamscha Sri Rupam Sakritatam Sahagna Raghunatam Vitamtam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Prayatana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Rata Krishna Padam Sahagna Lalita Sri Visakam Vitamscha. He Krishna Karna Sindhu Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Rata Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Date Vrindavanishwari Rishabhanu Suta Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpa Trubhyascha Kripa Sundubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadata Sri Vasudhi Gaura Bhaktivrinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So we're reading from the Bhagavad Gita. We're in the introduction. The introduction is divided into 8 parts. First there's the prayers, which we just read. Then there's... What shall I do? Like this? So, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Is it better? What shall I do? Is it echoing or something? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So the introduction is divided into 8 parts. First there's the prayers that we just read, then there's 6 sections of text, and then there's a conclusion with the Gita Mahatmya at the end. So I just wanted to point out the 6 sections of the text. So after the Hare Krishna prayer that we just read, that then begins the first section. So if you look one paragraph after we just read, it says, the spirit of Bhagavad Gita. Can you see it? The spirit of Bhagavad Gita is mentioned in the Gita itself. Has everybody got it? That's the beginning of section 1. And then section 2 is the purpose of Bhagavad Gita. In the big book it's on page 7, and in the small book it's on page 5. The spirit of Bhagavad Gita. I just want to tell you where the sections are. How we should approach the Bhagavad Gita. Yes, it's how we should approach the Bhagavad Gita. As in a devotional mood, in theory that we accept Krishna as God, this is the spirit of Bhagavad Gita. So part 2 is the purpose of Bhagavad Gita. In the small books it's on page 5. Oh, wait a minute. Yes, the last paragraph on page 5 in the small book. Just what is the Bhagavad Gita? The purpose of Bhagavad Gita is to deliver mankind from material existence. So that's section 2. I just want to point them out so that you can find them later. The third section is called the subject of Bhagavad Gita. Have you all got small books? Let me have a look at your book. So in the small book, it's on page the subject is on page 6. The last paragraph, the subject of Bhagavad Gita entails the comprehension of 5 basic truths. Have you found it? That's section 3. Remember the 5 basic truths: Jiva, Ishvara, Kala, Karma, and Prakriti. And then part 4 is the process of understanding. That starts on page 13 in the small books. And it's the paragraph that starts, Vedic knowledge is not a question of research. So these first 4 are they're the sambandha. This is what we were speaking about the other day, our relationship with God. And then section 5 begins on page 14. The last paragraph, that destination is called the Sanatan sky. That's the prayojan, the result or the goal where we want to get to. The Sanatan sky, the spiritual world. That's part 5, which we already covered, and part 6, Abhideya, is how to get there. That starts on page 21. So that's where we're going to start today. Part 6. So it says, next. It's at the top of the page. Next, one may raise the question of... Have you found it? Right, okay, so I'll read it a little bit. We're going to read 3.5 pages. So that's half of section 6, and the other half we can do tomorrow, whoever's giving class tomorrow. Next, one may raise the question of how one goes about approaching that abode of the Supreme Lord. So we've already been told the goal is to get back to the spiritual world, and how to get there is going to now be described. Information of this is given in the 8th chapter. Chapter 8 is called Attaining the Supreme. So it is said there. So first he gives 8.5. This is a very important verse. You might like to turn to 8.5 to have a look at it. Very important verse. He mentions it twice in the introduction. The thing that strikes me most about this verse is that the Maha Mantra is in the purport twice in full. So the verse goes like this, and it's the Bhakti Shastri verse. You have to learn it. Antakale chamameva smaram bhuktva kaleparam ya prayati samad bhavam yati nastya trasam shaya. Do you want to repeat it? Antakale chamameva smaram bhuktva kaleparam ya prayati samad bhavam yati nastya trasam shaya. Translation: and whoever at the end of his life quits his body, remembering me alone, at once attains my nature. Of this there is no doubt. I'll read the purport, it's nice. In this verse, the importance of Krishna consciousness is stressed. Anyone who quits his body in Krishna consciousness is at once transferred to the transcendental nature of the Supreme Lord. That means he goes back home, back to Godhead. The Supreme Lord is the purest of the pure. Therefore, anyone who is constantly Krishna conscious is also the purest of the pure. The word smaran, remembering, is important. Remembrance of Krishna is not possible for the impure soul who has not practiced Krishna consciousness in devotional service. Therefore, one should practice Krishna consciousness from the very beginning of life. If one wants to achieve success at the end of his life, the process of remembering Krishna is essential. Therefore, one should constantly, incessantly chant the Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Which is what we were doing this afternoon in Maastricht. We went on a Harinam with two vans and two cars. I didn't count them. How many people were there? About 35? 30? Lord Chaitanya has advised that one be as tolerant as a tree. There may be so many impediments for a person who is chanting Hare Krishna. Nonetheless, tolerating all these impediments, one should continue to chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So that at the end of one's life, one can have the full benefit of Krishna consciousness. Back to the introduction. So this is the verse that Srila Prabhupada's putting in the introduction. Anyone who quits his body at the end of life, remembering me, attains immediately to my nature. Of this there is no doubt of this. Bhagavad Gita 8.5. One who thinks of Krishna at the time of his death goes to Krishna. One must remember the form of Krishna. If he quits his body thinking of this form, he surely approaches the spiritual kingdom. But we don't know when we're going to die. We know we have to remember Krishna when we die, but we don't know when we're going to die. So the best thing is we remember Krishna as much as possible. So has anyone ever witnessed that someone left Krishna consciousness chanting? And left his body chanting? Anyone ever seen it? You ever saw a devotee leave his body in with kirtan?
There was a devotee in Japan. I was there in the house in this.
You were all chanting?
Yeah, I remember Sudan.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Smiling, yes, nice. Anyone else? I also saw one devotee leave his body smiling in a kirtan. After he left his body, he was 28, after he left his body, his best friend said, "Hey, it's like he's laughing at me." And we looked and we said, "Hey, he's smiling. A dead body smiling, that's so unusual." But there are devotees who leave their body like that. And it means they saw Krishna. Palladananda Swami said, this one that we saw, it means he saw Krishna. It wasn't for sure that he went back to Godhead, but he saw Krishna. Let's see what else Prabhupada says. Madbhavan refers to the supreme nature of the supreme being. The supreme being is Satchitananda Vigraha. That is, his form is eternal, full of knowledge and bliss. Our present body is not Satchitananda. It is Asat, not Sat. Sat means eternal. It is not eternal. It is perishable. It is not Chit, full of knowledge, but it is full of ignorance. We have no knowledge of the spiritual kingdom, nor do we even have perfect knowledge of this material world, where there are so many things unknown to us. This body is also Nir Ananda. Instead of being full of bliss, it is full of misery. All of the miseries we experience in the material world arise from the body. But one who leaves this body thinking of Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, at once attains a Satchitananda body, a spiritual body. The process of quitting this body and getting another in the material world is also organized. A man dies after it has been decided what form of body he will have in the next life. Higher authorities, not the living entity himself, make this decision. According to our activities in this life, we either rise or sink. This life is a preparation for the next life. If we can prepare, therefore, in this life to get promotion to the kingdom of God, then surely, after quitting this material body, we will attain a spiritual body just like the Lord's. Anybody want a spiritual body? Would you like a spiritual body? Okay. I had one tourist who came here and I was telling about the picture of Krishna and I said this form is spiritual. He never gets old, he never gets sick and he never dies. And the tourist said, I want a body like that. So then it was... And his brother was a devotee, so I said, your brother can tell you how to get one. I said, you can have one and he'll tell you how to do it. This life is a preparation for the next life. If we can prepare, therefore, in this life to get promotion to the kingdom of God, then surely after quitting this material body, we will attain a spiritual body just like the Lord's. As explained before, there are different kinds of transcendentalists. The Brahmavadi, the Paramatmavadi, and the devotee. And, as mentioned, in the Brahmajyoti, the spiritual sky, there are innumerable spiritual planets. The number of these planets is far, far greater than all of the planets in this material world. This material world has been approximated as only one quarter of the creation. Ekam shena stito jagat. In this material segment, there are millions and billions of universes with trillions of planets and suns, stars, and moons. But this whole material creation is only a fragment of the total creation. Most of the creation is in the spiritual sky. One who desires to merge, sometimes it's called the urge to merge. One who desires to merge into the existence of the Supreme Brahman is at once transferred to the Brahmajyoti of the Supreme Lord. That's the shining rays of the body of Krishna. The Brahmajyoti of the Supreme Lord, and thus attains the spiritual sky. The devotee, who wants to enjoy the association of the Lord, enters into the Vaikuntha planets, which are innumerable. And the Supreme Lord, by his plenary expansions as Narayan with four hands and with different names like Pradyumna, Aniruddha, and Govinda, associates with him there. Therefore, at the end of life, the transcendentalists think either of the Brahmajyoti, the Paramatma, or the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. In all cases, they enter into the spiritual sky, but only the devotee, or he who is in personal touch with the Supreme Lord, enters into the Vaikuntha planets, or the Goloka Vrindavan planet. The Lord further adds that of this there is no doubt. This must be believed firmly. We should not reject that which does not tally with our imagination. Our attitude should be that of Arjuna. I believe everything you have said. In chapter 10, Arjuna is going to say that, 10:14. Let me have a look at 10:14. Arjuna says to Krishna, O Krishna, I totally accept as truth all that you have told me. He believes everything. And Prabhupada's advising that we also take that attitude. Not, oh, I believe this, but I don't believe that. Prabhupada's advising that we believe all that Krishna's telling us. Last week we were looking at the Brahma Samhita, which was spoken by Brahma. Brahma is the highest personality, well, the creator of the universe, the highest personality in the universe. And he's saying that Krishna is God. Govindam Adipurusham Tamaham Bhajami. So on his authority. Therefore, the Lord says that at the time of death, whoever thinks of him as Brahma or Paramatma or as the personality of Godhead certainly enters into the spiritual guy, there is no doubt about it. There is no question of disbelieving it. So now Prabhupada goes on to the next verse in chapter 8. The Bhagavad Gita 8.6 also explains the general principle that makes it possible to enter the spiritual kingdom simply by thinking of the Supreme at the time of death. A very famous verse, Yam yam vapi smaran bhavam chajatyante kalevaram tam samavaitikanteya sadatat bhava bhavita. Whatever state of being one remembers when he quits this present body, in his next life he will attain to that state without fail. Whatever you think of when you die, that's where you start your next life. So when I read this, I remembered that funny story that, was it Pottasarathy told us about the zookeeper? If I remember the story correctly, it was like this. It's a true story. There was a zookeeper, was it in America? And he had an elephant that was sick. He was concerned about the sick elephant. The elephant had pains in his belly because he couldn't go to the toilet, he couldn't pass stool. So the zookeeper contacted the vet, or the person who's in charge of the animals, and he said, what shall I do? And he said, give him some oil. So he gave him some oil. Nothing happened. The elephant still had pain, he still couldn't pass stool. So he gave him some more oil and some more, buckets and buckets of oil. Then he suggested berries, and he gave him a big pile of berries. So the zookeeper's really concerned about the elephant's an expensive animal. Then poor elephant was in pain, and the zookeeper is walking around the elephant, and he's around the tail end, and he's looking up at the elephant thinking, when is he going to pass stool? At that moment, the elephant lifts his tail and breaks wind with such a velocity, such a force, that the guy gets knocked over backwards, and he bangs his head and he falls unconscious. At that moment, the elephant downloads a mountain of manure on top of the zookeeper, and that's the end of the zookeeper. So what did he think of it at the time of death? He was looking at the back end of an elephant thinking about stool, and he gets covered with a mountain of it, and that's how he left his body. What's going to happen in his next life? How's he going to start his next life? It's not the best thing to think of at the time of death. And anyway, so we should also not think too much about horrible things like accidents and horrible stories on the TV. The news has so many bad stories, but then after that you can watch a police, a program every week, a drama about a police catching thieves and all bad things, and then you can watch hospital stories about dramas and horrible things. And people enjoy watching this kind of program on TV, but what are you doing to your mind? You're putting all these impressions, all these bad impressions. It's bad enough watching the news when they're true, and then on top of that they're making some dramas which are not necessary, and all these impressions are going in people's minds every day. What are they going to think about at the time of death if that's what they do with their mind all day, all evening? Work at the office all day, go home and watch some nice things on the TV. It makes an impression on a samskara on our mind. And we should also not talk about too much about, even if it's real, details of diseases of my mother this or my auntie that, or too much unnecessary dwelling on that, things that create a bad impression. I was in a temple in Bangladesh, and it was... was it Durga Puja or Kali Puja? I was in one temple and they were just about to sacrifice a goat to offer to the deity. So there were three temples or three altars right next to each other. One was for Kali, one is for Krishna, and one was for Shiva. And I was thinking, oh, poor Krishna having to be here. And so they got this little baby goat and washed him nicely and put some auspicious things on his head. And then they had a chopping block outside, and the pujari was tightening his belt, and he got this big knife, and then I ran away quick. I thought, I don't want to see it, because it might make an impression on my mind. And I ran outside into the street, and there were some devotees with a book table, and so I went and took shelter there. So that the thing, everything we see and everything we think during our life adds up to what will happen at the time of death. Some people say that at the time of death, the life, their whole life plays like a film in front of their eyes. What are you going to see? What's your film going to be like? So this is what we do in the temple, is we, in the morning, if the enthusiastic devotees get up at 4 o'clock, get shower, come downstairs in clean clothes, and the first thing they see is the altar, the deities, Radha Krishna, Jagannath, Gaur Nithai, and they sing very nicely for them. And that's how they start their day in a good consciousness. And then 2 hours of japa to clean the heart, some tulsi puja to get some devotion, singing to the spiritual master. So that's how we start our day, to make some good impressions, trying to get into a Krishna consciousness. And then the merciful devotees go out on the Harinam and try and spread the holy names. And the pujaris work very hard behind the curtains to make the deities very attractive, so that everyone comes here, gets inspired. Let's see what Prabhupada says next. Whatever state of being one remembers when he quits his present body, in his next life he will attain to that state without fail. Now, first we must understand that material nature is a display of one of the energies of the Lord, of the Supreme Lord. In the Vishnu Purana, 6.7.61, the total energies of the Supreme Lord are delineated. Vishnu Shakti, Vishnu Shakti Praprokta, Kshetra Kya Kya Tatapara, Avijja Karma Samgyaya, Tricha Shakti Ishite. The Supreme Lord has diverse and innumerable energies which are beyond our conception. However, great learned sages or liberated souls have studied these energies and have analyzed them into three parts. All of the energies are of Vishnu Shakti. That is to say, they are different potencies of Lord Vishnu. The first energy is Para, transcendental. Living entities also belong to the superior energy. Actually, I'm not this body. I'm a spirit soul, a jiva. And this is part of Krishna's Para Shakti. And this body, this is the inferior energy. The first energy is Para, transcendental. Living entities also belong to the superior energy, as has already been explained. The other energies, or material energies, are in the mode of ignorance. At the time of death, either we can remain in the inferior energy of this material world, or we can transfer to the energy of the spiritual world. So, the Bhagavad Gita says, this is a repeat of the one we just had, Yam yam vapi smaran bhavam, jajajante kalevaram, sam samavaitikanteya sadatat bhava bhavita. Whatever state of being one remembers when he quits his present body, in his next life, he will attain to that state without fail. If something's put twice, it means it's very important. And of course, in chapter 8, we get it again. That's three times in total, this verse. In life, we are accustomed to thinking either of the material energy or of the spiritual energy. Now, how we can transfer our thoughts from the material energy to the spiritual energy? Now, some tips from Prabhupada. There are so many literatures which fill our thoughts with the material energy. Newspapers, magazines, novels, etc. Our thinking, which is now absorbed in these literatures, must be transferred to the Vedic literatures. The great sages, therefore, have written so many Vedic literatures, such as the Puranas. The Puranas are not imaginative, they are historical records. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Majjhalila 20, chapter 20, verse 122, there is the following verse. Can anyone sing this verse? Maya mukta jivira nahi svata krishna jnana jivira kripaya kaila krishna veda purana. Almost. The forgetful living entities or conditioned souls have forgotten their relationship with the Supreme Lord and they are engrossed in thinking of material activities. Just to transfer their thinking power to the spiritual sky, Krishna Dvaipayana Vyas has given a great number of Vedic literatures. First, he divided the Vedas into four. Then, he explained them in the Puranas. And, for less capable people, he wrote Mahabharata. Was it women and Shudras? So I'm watching a film now called Mahabharata. It's great. It's a story about the Pandavas and the things leading up to the Battle of Kurukshetra. And then Bhagavad Gita is one chapter in the Mahabharata. But most people wouldn't read it if there wasn't the rest of the story to go with it. If it was just the philosophy without the story, most women and Shudras wouldn't read it. In the Mahabharata, there is given the Bhagavad Gita. Then, all Vedic literature is summarized in the Vedanta Sutra. And for future guidance, we have a natural commentary on the Vedanta Sutra called Srimad Bhagavatam. We must always engage our minds in reading these literatures, just as materialists engage their minds in reading newspapers, magazines, and so many materialistic literatures, we must transfer our reading to these literatures, which are given to us by Vyasadeva. In that way, it will be possible for us to remember the Supreme Lord at the time of death. That is the only way suggested by the Lord, and he guarantees the result. Of this, there is no doubt. Let me just check how many. Oh yes, so the next verse that Prabhupada quotes, we're nearly finished now, is 8.7. So he's saying to Arjuna, Tasmat saveshu kaleshu mamanusmara yujacha mayapitamano bodhi mame vaisyasya samshaya. Therefore, Arjuna, you should always think of me in the form of Krishna and at the same time continue your prescribed duty of fighting. With your activities dedicated to me and your mind and intelligence fixed on me, you will attain me without doubt. I was going to stop here and then let the next person carry on there tomorrow. Or we could read a little bit more. One paragraph more. He does not advise Arjuna to simply remember him and give up his occupation. No, the Lord never suggests anything impractical. In this material world, in order to maintain the body, one has to work. This is from 3.8. Let me just have a look at it. Some people say that devotees do devotional service because they don't want to work. And the early Sankirtan devotees, they were told, go and get a job. So Krishna is saying, perform your prescribed... Nitam kuru kama tvam karma jayo yakarmana shriraya pichate na prasicheta karmana. Perform your prescribed duty, for doing so is better than not working. One cannot even maintain one's physical body without work. So we should work. In order to, back to the introduction, in order to maintain the body, one has to work. Human society is divided according to work into four divisions of social order: Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, and Shudra. This is from 4.13, which has degraded into the caste system, where they say that some people in India say, if you're born in a certain caste, you have to stay in that caste. And Krishna says it like this, 4.13. Chaturvarnya masristam guna karma vibhagasa tashchakataram apimam vichakataram akhyam. According to the three modes of material nature and the work associated with them, the four divisions of human society are created by me. Krishna is saying guna and karma. The quality, your qualities and your work. That's what determines which what the varna is. So there's an example. Some people say, I'm a Brahmin because I'm born in a Brahmin family. But only if they have Brahmin training in the Brahmin family are they a Brahmin. If they don't have the training, then where is the question of being a Brahmin? It would be like someone saying, my father is a heart surgeon, therefore I will do the operations in the hospital. No, you have to do the training. Your father might be a heart surgeon, but still you have to go to medical college. So a Brahmin, okay, that's very nice that he's born in a Brahmin family, but he still has to get the Brahmin training in order to be a Brahmin. Back to the introduction. Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, and Shudra. The Brahman class, or intelligent class, is working in one way. And the Kshatriya, or administrative class, is working in another way. So what do the Kshatriyas do? Arjuna! Arjuna was the big Kshatriya. There, they do the administration of the country, the protection, the army, like for example. The Kshatriya or administrative class is working in another way. And the mercantile class, they're the trades people, the people who make money. The people who grow things in agriculture, who feed society, they're the mercantile class. And the laborers are the Shudras, people who work to help all the others. And the laborers are all tending to their specific duties. In the human society, whether one is a laborer, a merchant, administrator, or a farmer, they didn't mention Brahmins. or even if one belongs to the highest class and is a literary man, a scientist, or a theologian, he still has to work in order to maintain his existence. The Lord therefore tells Arjuna that he need not give up his occupation, but while he's engaged in his occupation, he should remember Krishna. Mam anusmara. If he doesn't practice remembering Krishna while he is struggling for existence, then it will not be possible for him to remember Krishna at the time of death. Lord Chaitanya also advises this. He says, Kirtaniya Siddhahari. One should practice chanting the names of the Lord always. The names of the Lord and the Lord are non-different. So, Lord Krishna's instruction to Arjuna to remember me and Lord Chaitanya's injunction that to always chant the names of Lord Krishna are the same instruction. There is no difference because Krishna and Krishna's name are non-different. In the absolute status, there is no difference between reference and referent. Therefore, we have to practice remembering the Lord always, 24 hours a day, by chanting his names and molding our life's activities in such a way that we can remember him always. So we'll stop here for today. So tomorrow's class will begin on with the next paragraph. Are there any questions about what we read today? So then we'll continue the program with nice kirtan. The musicians have just arrived. So we can chant always and remember Krishna always. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.